Thank you so much, everybody, and welcome, everybody. And Amy, I'm wondering if we can mute the entry and exit chimes. So thanks. So today we're going to talk about how to write outstanding blogs. As you may have known from the promotional material, I am a writer and an editor, have been on staff, have done a lot of freelance writing. And my sweet spot, my absolute passion and desire is to help you really get going and really, really speak your truth so that the people who need you can come to you. So we'll just go in and I'll go through some things about what blogging is and is not and how to structure it, what things work, a couple of things that don't. And at the end, the last half hour, 20 minutes or so, I will open it for questions. Amy kindly sent me some of your questions early on, and I'll cover those that I feel like I have the expertise to talk about. So a blog isn't just an essay or an article that you write. It's nothing fancier than that. It can be something based on your personal experience, or it can be very objective, newsy, and scholarly. Either way, it's something you write from your own perspective, in your own voice, but there's nothing more mysterious about that. And there's really very few rights and wrongs with it that you wouldn't already know from your training as coaches about boundaries and so on. And the most important thing, though, is to do it. It's a wonderful way to help people get a sense of who you are and how you can help them. So the structure of a blog, I'm not going to talk about the technical side too much because that's not my area of expertise, and I really encourage you to find someone in your life to delegate that stuff to, unless you're a real technical whiz and enjoy that. I happen to be very blessed with an on-site graphic designer, IT guy, who set up my two websites. I blog at GayEdelman.com, my writer, CoachGay.com. I have some content, but mostly it's just stuff about writing and writing coaching. WordPress is the one that I'm using. There are other platforms, but there are other folks who are more qualified to help you with that. I want you to get started as soon as possible. So if you don't have a website and you're not already up and running, you can even just start using your Facebook page as a way to say who you are, post, and I'll share some ideas about how you can come up with ideas and what kinds of things. But to share those things that show your expertise and your special skills and your special gifts in the best possible in the best possible light. Now, I want to back off a little bit a second and say that if you're feeling intimidated, as those of us who are boomers sometimes do, by the tech and by the, you know, how do I do this and what about Instagram and what the hell is this and what the hell is that, just know that even when I frolic with folks who are entrepreneurs in this business of marketing and promoting and getting known in this great citizen journalism time that we're living in, even they don't exactly know what they're doing. So don't feel bad about it. I want you to just start where you are. Don't worry about catching up. Just start where you are. So now the most important thing, speaking now writer to writer, is to get started. So I'm hoping that as we go along, you'll have a pad and paper, not to take notes so much on what I say, but to come up with some ideas of things you could blog about, somewhere to do it, and a plan of action that will have you have some great content up by this time next week. And I'm gonna offer you a lure and an inducement at the end to do that. So the ideal blog is somewhere between 200 and 600 words, bearing in mind in particular that people's reading habits have been very much informed by their media and TV and all of that. And so we have to really pay attention and attend that. But that said, if you've got a lot to say and 600 words won't do it for you, say what you need to say in as many words as it takes. You also know your reader or your ideal reader, who is your obviously your ideal client or group or company. And if that person or that group tends to have a more patient and a longer attention span, then you can go longer. And I'm going to talk in another minute or two about the readers, but right now I want to talk about the structure. So there are a lot of ways to set up a blog. You can create a formula and always use that. I have a friend, Ann Daly, who is a corporate coach, and she has, among other things, a formula where every now and then she interviews by email certain women that she admires, and there's a name for her blog, and I'm sorry I don't remember it, but it and what she did, and she actually interviewed me, and she sent me a list of maybe 20 questions about me and my practice and how I do things and what I care about and what my sensitivities are and some funny stuff. And then she picked, say, the 10 best questions, and that was her blog. So that's kind of a cool formula. So you may want to come up with a formula. More often what you people do is a traditional essay, which is a flowing narrative, which means paragraph, 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 with your thoughts, ideas, observation, advice, or even your research. Short paragraphs are better. They help the reader skim and find what he needs or wants from your writing. And also it looks less intimidating, even for avid readers. It's a truism in the journalism business that a big block of solid text is just oh so intimidating. So, you know, the first thing you might want to do is go back and look at your website and kind of chunk things up a little bit and make it easier for your reader, but certainly with a blog. And sometimes countering what you may have heard from English class, a paragraph could be a whole, just one sentence, you know, just transition, transition, transition to kind of move the reader through by giving her space. If you have a favorite blog, think about what you like about it and spend some time looking at different ways to set up the content. There are a lot of good blogs on Huffington Post. Salon.com, I think, has some different, you know, you may have buddies who are coaches, I do, who have excellent blogs. Another way to structure a blog is a list. It can be numbered or bulleted. People love lists. Once again, it's very easy to read, to just jump in and catch out what you want, what you need. For example, one time on my GayEdelman.com blog, I did a list of my favorite meditation books, and it was picked up by the Huffington Post, which was good because more exposure, you know, more people helped and more people aware and getting to know me and my areas of specialty. Which, by the way, also includes spiritual life coaching, which explains the meditation book business. Depending on your area of specialty, you could do a list of favorite tips or valuable resources. You can also invite somebody to write something and just introduce them as a guest blogger. You can also be a guest blogger for somebody else, which I've done on a number of occasions. And generally, you do that to, you know, one hand washes the other, kind of a cross-promotional kind of thing. You can also link to an important resource article and add in a few of your pithy comments. And somebody asked me in one of the preliminary questions, what about rights? And, you know, go ahead and post the link. That's to their benefit. If you're going to actually extract content, you can take a little bit and quote from it directly attributed to them, very much the same rules that you would use in terms of not plagiarizing. That's considered fair use. More than that, you would want to ask whether or not you could actually make that content your own, you know, attributing it to them but using it in your blog. Let's see. You can have a Q&A with somebody in your field. And the way to do that is you can do it by phone or you can even, as I said, do it by email, a Q&A on a particular topic. You can always quote others in your blog, as I've said, and, you know, to beef up what you're saying by using some research and people. One of my favorite guys in this world is Martin Seligman, and he's very hard to reach, but occasionally I have been known to quote some of the things that he says. Sometimes, and depends on what your area is, it can even be a lot of photos with inspirational quotes. So it doesn't have to be a lot of words. You know, maybe coming up on the holidays, you want to attract people by offering some beautiful images that with some inspiring, affirming ideas and thoughts that will help people in the time of the year that can be troubling to so many. If you specialize in a certain kind of coaching, maybe you would want to write about what called you to that. I have a friend who's a colleague who's a grief counselor, and she had a very tragic experience as a young mother. She was widowed with four kids under the age of five, and so she really knows about grief and moving on and getting on with things. And so for her, it's important for her clients to know about that. And, you know, that's something that you'll have to decide for yourself, whether that's important or not. My friend Deanna Nagel has shared recently in a blog about how the work that she's doing is very much informed by the many things she's had to do to recover some of her long-time ailments. And that's quite inspiring for people who want to work with her. And then you really want to think about, what do people want to know? What are people talking about? What are people asking about? Where are people hurting? What is your intuition telling you about that? What would they find fun and useful to know? What would you like to read about? One of my favorite things to blog about or write articles about in my magazines and so on is something that I want to discover, something that I want to explore. So I want to know, for example, why baby boomers are so freaked out about their technology. So I'm asking and listening and paying attention, and I'm just sort of feeling. And letting that inform, you know, a possible article or blog or something. And sometimes people even put videos. I haven't done that yet, but I could. I've got a Mac, and all you have to do is push go. And there are ways to also include recordings, particularly if you've got somebody to, if you know how to do the tech or you've got somebody to help help you with that. Somebody asked about do's and don'ts, and I don't like to focus too much on the negative, but I will tell you that it's probably a good idea to stay away from complaints and rants. They're off-putting, and they don't show you in the best possible light. Now, there are some obvious exceptions. If you want to have a rant against hunger, or probably rant is too strong a word, right? But if you want to say stuff against, you know, about hunger or domestic abuse or support for cancer research, because God forbid, but you've got a relative who's in need and suffering right now, you can do that kind of thing, because it wants to be authentic. It wants to be true. It wants to be real. It wants to be exactly who you are as you believe, channeled through who you are as a coach. Your overall blog should have some kind of a theme and a unifying focus. My designer's son dubbed mine Gay's Joy Blog, and Joy Blog it has stayed. A friend who is a corporate coach called hers Notes from the Time Millionaire. She had branded herself as the Time Millionaire, and so all her blogs are about efficient use of your time and balance in your life and so on. And then each blog should have its own separate and clear and catchy title. If you've got a list, put the number in the title, as in 7 ways to deal with difficult relatives. Don't be afraid to use a little bit of hyperbole. We journalists do it all the time. You know, you'll know not to do it to excess, right? The most important thing to remember for the holidays, and, you know, that's a great headline. I don't know what it is. Probably take care of yourself. I don't know. But you want to do something, and it needs to be really clear. And it needs to be something that you know, that you can say and repeat out loud, especially the overall title. Make sure that the first few words of the blog really, really sing, because when you promote your blog on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever, those are going to be the words that show up. So, for example, I promote my blog a lot on Facebook, and you put the link, and then all it shows up is the first few words. So you want those words to be really good. You don't want to back into it. You want to, you know, sometimes I'll use a word like hooray or wow or something if I'm being all cute and fun. But certainly get to your point very, very quickly. Now I'm going to talk about where ideas come from. They're everywhere. You're learned people, you're people who've studied really hard, and just tune into that. You know, tune up your curiosity, tune up your passions, and use what I call the ABC method. Always be collecting. There's a tape rolling in my head all the time, taking notes. Sometimes you do, yes, have to turn it off, but always be looking. You see a beautiful tree. Could you do a tree blog? You see an odd interaction in McDonald's between a mother and her child. Could that be a blog? You see a trend in your practice. Could that be a blog? And that's kind of how, you know, how you're going to be inspired. And what I do is I keep a list in a folder on my desktop, and I also have piles of little pieces of paper, and just jot it down. Just write it down on anything, a napkin, a pad, if you're very organized, or on your phone. If you're very organized, you can carry a little notebook and keep it in there, and that's a very good way to kind of keep track of things. Somebody asked about rights with photos, and that's also not my area of specialty, although I'm going to try to answer these questions that I can't get to about rights and things and post the answers on my website, Coach Gay. So what I do actually is just take the pictures myself. I mean, you can take really nice pictures with an iPhone, and presumably, unless you're a photography coach, presumably, you know, you're not worried about promoting yourself in the world as a photographer. If you are, then you probably already know how to do this stuff, and you don't need me to tell you how. And with that in mind, you should always have at least one photo. We now know, the reader research shows, that people in general are more inspired and more inclined to stop and look at your stuff wherever, on anywhere. Pinterest is so popular because of the images, if there's an image. So even in a print magazine, you'll see there's tons and tons more photos and fewer words. And that's because we have become a photo-driven readership as opposed to a word or title-driven readership. So, you know, just snap something, keep some stuff on your desktop, and put one up there, and coordinate it as best you can with the blog topic. But you know what I have? I went to an orchid show, and I just went crazy taking tons of pictures. And when all else fails, because the joy blog is about joy, and what's more joyful than a beautiful orchid, I'll put one of those up there. So in vetting your ideas, you know, the same way that you have boundaries with your clients, you want to have boundaries with your blog. And I don't need to say too much about that, but you're not going to talk about things that are going to make you look bad to your potential clients or to your current clients. And I blog about a lot of personal stuff because, as either a writing coach or a spiritual life coach, my personal spiritual life is very much part of the work that I do. But that may not be appropriate for the kind of coaching that you do. That's something you're going to have to sit with and kind of feel into. The most important thing you're going to want to do, though, is keep your tone warm and friendly and personal and personable. And I want to tell you a little bit about how you do that. But before that, I'm going to talk about the most important person of all in all of this process. So brace yourself, because I'm going to tell you something that's true, and you may not like it. You may. The most important person in your blogging process is not you. It's not you. The most important person in the whole blogging process is your reader. You want to help her, inspire her, move her, attract her to you and your services. You want to think about what moves and inspires her. And when you have ideas and start writing, you want to blend that and channel that through what you offer as a coach. Now, this is a very interior process. You know, as a writing coach, I tend to go, you know, really deep into the intuitive process. I call it spiritual. You can call it whatever you need to in terms of intuition and centeredness and that deep place where your creativity comes from. You're going to want to end your blog with a call to action. Your blog is going to draw people to you, and the longer they're engaged on your website, the more likely they are to do what marketing people, salespeople will tell you, convert, which is, you know, click on, you know, the free thing that you offer, and now you've got their email information and can offer them other ways to be in touch with you and possibly work with you. Now, I want to talk about you, the writer, and then in about 5 more minutes or so, I'll open it up for Q&A. When it comes to your blog, the second most important person is you, right? But in your life, the most important person, of course, is you. So I know that as coaches, you know a thing or two about enlightened self-interest and self-care, what I call radical self-care and extreme self-love. However you find your center to calm yourself for your day, your family, your clients, your work, your life, that's the place you're going to write from. So the same way that you have rituals and practices to make certain you're in your right mind, so to speak, you want to be in your right mind for when you write. So what you want to do is create the feeling in yourself while you are writing that you want to give your reader. That's where you're going to write from. That's your source. That's what makes your blog unique. There's nobody in the world who does what you do the way you do it. So there's nobody in the world who can write your blog in the way that you're going to do it. That's what makes you authentic. So if I leave you with nothing else today, I just want you to remember that's your voice. You know, the marketing people, they go nuts about authenticity. They talk about that. The salespeople talk about, you know, authenticity, being real, what does that mean? It means being true in yourself, taking care of yourself, self-nurture, centering, and then letting that inspire you and letting you create your words that you're going to share with the world, and that's going to, you know, bring people to you for you to help and serve. So the call to action comes kind of probably toward the end, does come toward the end, not probably. You want to engage a reader. This is somebody asks, you know, how do you make money with this? This is where the money is. You want there to be this wonderful intersect between what you offer and what your clients need. So you can ask for comments. You can make a suggestion that if you want more information, you can send, you know, or send for my free ebook or something like that. And that's what's going to keep people on there. If you have more questions about that, that's more of a marketing sales question, and I know that there are some cool videos on this website, on ILCT website, for marketing, and that may give you some of the answers that you seek. But there's tons and tons of information out there about sales and converting and so on. And forgive me for using sales talk. I've been hanging out with entrepreneurs this week. So before we move into the Q&A, I want to underscore that you've got to get writing. And so the first 10 people to email me a link to their actual, real, live, new blog written and posted between today and next week, the 29th, I'll give you a free copy of my 10-page or so ebook on how to blog from which this talk was adapted. And the first 5 will also get a free 20-minute one-on-one consult for me. And you can email me through my Coach Gay website, coachgay.com, gay@coachgay.com. And I'll repeat this information at the end. So I'm going to go through some of the questions that were sent to me, and then we will open it up for live questions. So, you want to generate comments and get feedback. You do that with the calls to action. You do that with your authenticity. You give your blog exposure by just promoting the heck out of it, as my business mentor would say. So, post, you know, you're going to build your list of people that you send it to as a newsletter. You will post it on LinkedIn, in groups on LinkedIn. You'll post it on Facebook. You will perhaps create an event around something, a blog that leads up to an event. So you could create an event on how to make it through the holidays and then say, you know, and I've got this free event coming up, and you can thereby, you know, bring people in and create this nice holistic way of providing service and inviting people into your world. Somebody says, how do you write outstanding blogs with up-to-date content? You know, research. Be alert and aware. You know, all those ways I said to find ideas. You know, you're going to be reading. You're going to be reading all kinds of things. Presumably you're reading journals and talking to other coaches and seeing what they're up to and what they're concerned about. You can also blog about news events if something really speaks to your area. If you're a corporate coach, and there's some kind of huge ethical scandal going on, you could blog about that. You know, 10 ways to make sure you're on track, ethically speaking, referencing the current event. Blog, how often or where to blog? Yes, on your website. Once a week is the minimum. Twice a week is the maximum. But the bottom line is do the best you can. And those numbers, you know, come from my pals, the marketing folks. Okay, interested in starting a blog and how to keep it relevant. Keeping it relevant is just, you know, being alert and aware citizen and aware of the people around you and what they need and want. There's nothing mysterious about that. And it says, what's important? Somebody said, what's important for a coaching blog to have? Real, authentic, succinct content that offers suggestions and help and really can make a difference to somebody's life, something that you really believe in, that will come through. I just so powerfully experienced that as a truth. Yes, there should be photos and images in each post. And somebody asked, what's an editorial calendar? And that's actually a magazine publishing question, but because someone asked, I will tell you that magazines and probably websites too, at the beginning of every year, create a kind of a map of what they're going to cover and publish, so that advertisers can say, decide, oh, well, if we're doing a whole big cheesecake feature in November, you know, maybe the company that makes cream cheese is going to want to have an ad in that magazine and so on. So those are the questions that I can answer that were submitted in advance. And I now want to invite you to ask me direct questions. No question. The only question that's a stupid question is the one that isn't asked. So press *6 to unmute. Then when you're done, please press *6 to remute yourself. And who's going to break the ice? No questions? I got it perfect?
It does take a minute, Gabe, when someone unmutes you for it to kick in, so it looks like we have somebody now.
Oh, good.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Adele calling from Waterloo, Ontario, and I was thinking about starting maybe 2 or possibly 3 blogs on different themes and posting to them regularly, because I have a couple of interests, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
On different what? Themes?
I have a number of interests, so I was going to do a blog around each theme and then regularly post to them instead of trying to consolidate it into one large blog.
And would you do them all on the same website or on different websites?
Oh, I haven't thought that far.
Do you have a blog at all now?
No, I'm about to start one.
Yeah. I think that I suggest you pick one and get that going.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the wildness here, the whole digital thing. There's no rule that says you shouldn't or can't.
Mm-hmm.
In general, depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to attract clients, you may want to keep it very focused. I worry that your energy would get scattered. If what you're really hankering for is to express yourself as a writer, then knock yourself out. Go for it. But if coaching is your thing and it's, you know, it's part of who you're going to be in the world publicly to invite people into your coaching world, then you probably want to pick one that's most focused on, you know, who you want to attract. Now, I don't know, you know, how different are the themes?
Some of them are around poverty reduction and social justice. Some would be around alternative ways of being in the world, which is more, I guess, in tune with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And some would be around on improving relationships. Those are my three areas.
I'm not convinced, you know, the unifying theme here is you. And I'm not convinced that you couldn't do these together in one blog. Now, I'm kind of going against there should be one theme.
Mm-hmm.
But I would pick the one most in harmony with what your greater goal is. And if your greater goal is to increase your coaching practice, then I would go with the improving relationships if that's, you know, whatever